They may sound nuts, so do the Wright brothers. Now, here's Fleeger and Briggs.
That's right. Welcome to It's Just Sports with Fleeger and Briggs, right here on the 12-Ounce Sports Network. And you can catch everything that you need to see, podcasts, live sporting events, right on 12-Ounce Sports Network and on Zingo TV. So just all you have to do is download Zingo TV and put in 120Z, and it's free. We don't have Fleeger and Briggs tonight. We have Briggs and Finkelstein.
I like it.
I think it's pretty nice. It's quiet.
It rolls off the tongue.
Yes. Briggs and Finkelstein. Isn't that catchy?
If it's not a coffee shop, it's a podcast.
Yeah. That's right. But, drop us an email, asylumfootball@gmail.com. It's just sports, 123@gmail.com. You can check us out on asylumfantasysports.com. That's where all the entire history of this pathetic podcast for about the last 10 years is kept. And you can listen to anything. You can go back 5 years when we were doing fantasy and figure out how brilliant we were.
You guys do fantasy?
We did.
Oh, that's amazing.
And we're still experts, but we just don't cover it. We don't like to pat ourselves in the back all the time.
You don't want to give all the tips and tricks out.
Exactly. There's a lot more of those other gurus out there. But if you want the common sense stuff, come on to us.
I like it.
You know, there is actually some sporting news going on, Christian, and I don't even know where to start. You know, baseball's in quote-unquote full swing with the exception of the Florida Marlins.
Marlins, we might as well just start with that.
What do you think?
I like it. Let's Marlins, they got 16 players, two staffers tested positive.
Yeah.
Suspended through Sunday. However, Rob Manfred, he doesn't see it as a nightmare, he said.
No, he doesn't. But how does that affect the Florida Marlins, who they came in contact with before? And now these guys are playing ball, correct?
Yep.
So now we have to keep monitoring everyone that was in contact with the Florida Marlins previously going forward.
Yeah, for whatever reason, the Marlins are the only ones making the news. But like you said, the Phillies were right in contact with
right.
them. But you don't hear anything about the Phillies.
Unless they haven't had any positive tests.
Yeah. And apparently this is really ticking off the Reds. The couple of the coaches and staffers, I think the front office came out and said that it's ridiculous that other teams are getting hounded for testing and whatnot when it wasn't them that were getting tested positive, it was the Marlins getting tested. So I don't know if Manfred's trying to crack down on everybody because the Marlins went out for a night on the town. And
well, if you're negative, who cares if you're getting tested? I don't get that. Why are you being angry about being tested?
Well, I think people are upset with getting cotton swab shoved up their sinus cavities. And
I tell you what I'm upset about with the Cincinnati Reds is I actually there's a corporation out there, used to be a sponsor of our old show that, you can actually invest in sports teams. Well, I'm invested in the Cincinnati Reds. Actually, they actually dumped a lot of money into some players this year. And their stock's going down. That tends to piss me off.
Understandably so.
And I'm not sure that they're really feeling the gravity of my situation, which is basically what I care about.
Well, it's my understanding that the entire front office is a fan of 12-Ounce Sports. So,
well, I would hope so. Who isn't?
I think you should voice that opinion loud, plant that flag in the ground, and tell them what's up.
I think I just did.
No,
get off your ass, start playing baseball.
There you go.
You have like, what, 55 games left, something like that.
Yeah, I think 55.
So let's get moving. Let's go about 45-10, and we'll coast into the playoffs.
And make you some money.
And make me some money. But, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, we can kid and everything, but with this COVID thing, we have no idea what the ramifications are going to be. This stuff could start spreading, and teams are going to be testing positive. It's a big deal because if baseball tends to shut down, that's a big impact on football.
And let's face it, that's the big one.
That is the big one. It is a full season scheduled, with actually the extended season and the expanded playoffs and everything starting to be implemented. You know, it's a real big deal. And look, hockey and basketball, they're going to have their playoffs and so forth, but they're playing in the bubble. Not that big of a deal. Baseball is really showing what's going on when you're out and about all over the place. And that's going to affect football, I think, because once they're already predicting fall and winter, the crappy weather starts moving in, this stuff's going to start picking up again.
Which, I don't know, I might be ignorant to it, but I haven't heard why. Like, why when it becomes fall and winter is when COVID is going to be ramping up? Like, I understand there's always the second wave of viruses and pandemics and all that, but they are specifying that it's November, December, into January. Like,
yeah, I don't know the ins and outs of that. I'm certainly not a doctor, but if it's okay, here's the thing. I mean, this kind of like segues into our next topic. There's already players that are afraid of this stuff.
Yeah.
And we've already had volunteer opt-outs, and actually you have some other ones, but I mean, some of the more consequential ones, offensive lineman Andre Smith from the Ravens, he's opting out. Devin Funchess, I don't know how impactful that is, but with the lack of wide receiver weapons in Green Bay, that certainly impacts them. The Patriots, they're just dropping like flies. Dante Hightower, Dan Vitale, Brandon Bolden. Who else was it? Patrick Chung also did.
Yeah, That was just, I think, yesterday.
Right. Anthony McKinney from the Titans, Chance Warmick from the Seattle Seahawks, and these are just the voluntary ones. They're already talking about Michael Pierce from the Vikings. That says higher risk opt-outs, which I'm not real sure what that means. Like they're at a real high risk of opting out, or they already have. I'm not real clear.
I believe he opted out under the high risk.
He's just high risk.
If I remember correctly, I think he had a heart condition. Maybe?
Right.
But the high risk is the one where there's a pre-existing condition.
Gotcha.
So whether it be the heart conditions, I believe there's somebody on the list, if I remember correctly, is prone to sickle cell. There's cancer survivors. And then there's the ones where family members.
Right. Gotcha.
So.
And then one of the other higher name ones, Marquise Goodwin from the Philadelphia Eagles, wide receiver, he's opting out. So, you know, it's going to take its toll. We're just starting training camp right now.
Yeah, right off the bat. And I mean, not that I like to give the Patriots a tissue or anything, but, I mean, you're losing some big names there, some high-profile players. And but the interesting thing that comes from this is – what happens with that team's salary cap? With the high risk, they're accruing a season, but collect $350,000.
In a stipend that doesn't count as salary, apparently.
Right. Yeah, it's outside of that, but it frees up that money. So they, from my understanding, Hightowers and Chungs and all these other Patriots players, like that money comes off the books. So that opens up that much more for a cap strapped team,
right,
to go out and possibly pick up a big name, high profile player, not to be named here, but Clowney.
Yeah, exactly. And he is one that's on everybody's list right now. And Devontae Freeman's another one.
Yeah.
Who's to say that a Dalvin Cook or whoever may just decide to opt out? You know, Devontae Freeman, he's right there. I'm not saying that he can fill in completely for some of these backs, But a lot of other ones, he's an upgrade.
Yeah.
I think so.
So the one good thing that I noticed that came out of the collective bargaining agreement with this was that somebody like Dalvin Cook couldn't use the opt-out clause as like a negotiation tactic.
Right.
So if you opt out, you aren't, when I use the word accrue, that doesn't mean that you're getting this year on your contract. It's essentially extending your contract a year. So say your contract is from 2020 to 2022, you accrue a year. So you're now, your contract's now 2021 to 2023. So,
right.
I mean, they thought it out as far as that goes. Not that I'm saying Dalvin Cook should hold out or anything like that.
And it's interesting that there's another story that came out. New York's Jets safety Bradley McDougald recently spoke with Jadeveon Clowney and claims that Clowney wouldn't mind signing a deal with New York. He says, I spoke to my boy at Clown, you know, his Twitter handle today, told me to tell the New York Jets to come and get him. Let's make it happen. And I don't know if that's true or not, but seems interesting that Clowney wants to play for the New York Jets. You would think that somebody of his caliber would be more interested in a team that has a legitimate shot at a title. But then again, New York, it's New York. It's high profile. It's big money.
Yeah, and, you know, he goes in there and signs a one-year deal. You know, it's tons of promotion because it's New York. Maybe that gets him a huge contract next year.
Well, the reason he hasn't been signed is he's been asking for around 17 mil. And there's nobody biting on that for him.
No.
So, you know, I think it's going to go to the highest bidder, obviously, because I think that's the way his mind works. I don't really necessarily think that if the Patriots offered him 13 and pick the crummiest team you can think of, you know, offered him 17, he wouldn't take the 17.
Right. This wasn't the Browns had the biggest offer out there at one point, wasn't it?
Yeah, for some reason he did not want to play for Cleveland. I know Michael Thomas has been lobbying in New Orleans to pick him up as well. So, I mean, I think there's a big market for him. And it probably behooves him just to kind of bide his time, see how many people opt out, see what's going on, and free up some cap space.
So I don't want to take anything away from Clowney. I think he's an amazing athlete, great football player. Like I always say, like an athlete as opposed to their position in certain circumstances, Cam Newton. But Clowney, as far as it goes in the NFL, even in general, going back to college, what's the one thing that sticks out in your head with him?
I think he is a big playmaker, but I don't think he is a difference maker.
I totally agree with that. Going, the reason why I brought it up was when I think of Clowney, I think of that insane hit when he was in college.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the college hit, of course.
And I think it's kind of sad that everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people say that he didn't live up to that hype. I think he's a fantastic defensive player. The man is a freak athlete, a pure athlete, plays the game, but everybody just looks back at that one hit, you know? So...
Yeah, I agree. I mean, well, look, he's averaging just a shade over 5 sacks a year since he's come into the league. He only has one pick in his entire career. But, you know, you can't necessarily hold that against him. He's a rushing,
right,
you know, force out there. But if you look at it, he hasn't played for bad teams either.
No.
This guy hasn't been stuck on crummy defenses. He played for the Texans, what, the first 5 years of his career, and then he moved to Seattle. And that's what sticks out to me. Well, that's the kind of player you would think would put a good defense over the top. And it never really seemed to happen in either one of the defenses yet.
Well, I think when he came in and everybody was thinking of him, dare I say, being a tag team partner with J.J. Watt, like,
that
was going to be unstoppable. And it wasn't unstoppable. It was very, very good. Borderline great. But, like, he never really stuck out as the player.
Right.
You know? Like I said, I'm not taking anything away from him. I think he's fantastic football player. But, you know, just...
I agree.
I don't know if he warrants that 17-plus million.
I agree 100%. And he's 27. He's right in the prime. I can see him signing, just like you said, a one-year deal. If he behaves himself, has a great year, yeah, he's going to get one of those big paydays. But right now, I think it's middle of the road right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I see him.
Would I be upset if he threw on some black and gold? I mean, taking into consideration positions with the players that we already have, it would be pretty awesome. But at the same time, you know, if he wants to sign with a rival, I remember there was talks of Baltimore. Yeah, cool. Go do your thing, man. Browns, sure, go do your thing.
Yeah.
So.
Bengals. You never hear the Bengals being brought up, do you?
No, you don't.
But, yeah, those are just really – those are two of the biggest names, Clowney, we mentioned, and Freeman, where they're going to land before this is all said and done, because you know they're going to be somewhere, obviously.
Freeman's – I kind of picture him being the one injury away. Like, I don't see – teams jumping out of their boots to go get him, or more where I see Clowney being more teams being like, yeah, I think we can make this work and throwing offers out. Freeman's like our number one running back goes down at practice. No contact type of injury, you know?
Right.
As much as I like Freeman. But
I mean, I just off the top of your head, where could you see Freeman going?
As a number one, because
I mean, just going, period.
Honestly, with
Tampa?
I don't know. I think they're set. Like, I think they like who they have. And if they honestly thought that they had an issue, it would have been dealt with earlier.
You would think so.
But
the Jets have Bell.
Yeah.
The Bills are set. Patriots are not going to do anything.
I don't know. Like maybe with all these opting out and the cap room opening up.
That aside, now, yeah. I mean, obviously, we can't speculate on who's all going to be opting out. But I'm just kind of going down through the divisions and everything. Pittsburgh set,
right.
Baltimore set,
mm-hmm.
Cincinnati set, Cleveland set, obviously Tennessee, Indianapolis. Jacksonville with Fournette. He's not going anywhere.
Do you think Freeman would be open to a committee? I mean, he came kind of at the end of his tenure with Atlanta. Like, coming out
of... He should be open to it, obviously, because there's more and more teams that are running back by committee instead of bell cow, is using the air quotes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Adrian Peterson and those kind of backs are going by the wayside for the most part. I mean, you still have a few, you know, Derrick Henry and so forth. But, yeah, I mean, he certainly should be open to committee because that's probably the situation he's going to be landing in.
You know, there's one for you. How would you like to go back up Derrick Henry? However, you look at Tennessee – they can't do that. They tried that, and it didn't work for Henry. He's a 20-plus touch guy.
Well, he has to. I mean, and that's the thing. That's one thing I've always hated against the running back committee type of thing, unless they're the more or less the scat backs and go out for passes and so forth. These guys need the reps, and the offensive line needs to have that consistent speed whatever it is, whether it's a slow back or a fast back, they need to have that consistency back there, because if you start swapping Derrick Henry with, say, Darren Sproles, I mean, that throws timing of blocking off and so forth when the holes are hit and all that nonsense. And, you know, you go back to – you hate to go back to all the old time and everything, but, you know, when it was run heavy, that's what they did. I mean, those backs ran, and there was a rhythm, and it picked up momentum as they went. And that's the type of back that Derrick Henry is, and Tennessee really can't get away from that.
When did that really start occurring? The change of pace backs and the running back by committees, and like I remember, man, I'm trying to remember.
Really, in the last 10 years, really, if you think about it, because you go back to even the beginning of the 2000s, you still had the greatest show on turf. You had Edgerrin James, Marshall Faulk. Yeah, they were more versatile, catching passes and not as big bruising as some of the other backs, but you basically had a running back
right
on every team.
So, like, I'll date myself. I was born in 82, and I can remember...
What a pup.
The youngest of the three here, but, two tonight. But,
yeah.
Going back, like, I grew up with Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders, and, like, Barry Sanders was a god to me.
Yeah.
Like, I remember growing up, and you were either an Emmitt Smith fan or you're a Barry Sanders fan. I was Barry Sanders.
And there's Walter Payton, too.
Yeah, Walter Payton and Christian Okoye. I gravitated to him. Not spelled the same, but, you know.
Yeah. I know, and I mean, back in my day, it was Franco Harris, Earl Campbell. You know, and you had... just these backs that ran. I mean, the Larry Zonkas and all of them, I mean, they would just pound you into the ground.
And we've had the conversation of Bo Jackson. Like
Bo Jackson.
I remember, because, you know, we're on the East Coast, we very rarely got to see him play regularly. But I only got to see highlights of him. Looking back and looking at statistics, like, he was splitting carries. Like,
yeah.
he wasn't a primary back. And that man just—he obliterated people.
Yes, he did. He was a freak of nature. There's no question about that. He's one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
and it would have been interesting if he had stayed with football and was injury free.
Yeah, yeah. So we kind of got all kinds of derailed there.
Oh, that's what we do. That's what we do.
So. Real quick, back to Freeman. What do you think? What do you think is a prime spot for him?
Well, it's really tough to figure out, because there's not, you know, Washington would be a good one. Oh God, Fligger showed up.
What's up, fellas?
Anyway. Washington would be a good one, I think, because I do not trust Geis. I do not trust Geis at all, his health. He would be a great landing spot. However, it would be a poor situation for him. And, you know, we have this show. We're making radio gold. He comes in, ruins everything.
What did I ruin?
Everything. The whole flow of the show.
I don't know why he got up and ran off. Did I hurt his
feelings?
Because
he has to get alcohol.
Oh, all right.
Because he can't stand the sight of you. But actually, Rick, just to fill you in, we were actually talking about what would be a prime landing spot for Devontae Freeman. And right now, I mean, I've landed on Washington because I don't trust Geis. And although they're a crummy team, they need a good running back.
They'll misuse him brutally, though. They've got, what, 8 guys in that room at this point? Devontae Freeman. L.A.? I think with the Rams might be a good
LA's
spot for him.
L.A. is a good one. Hadn't gotten that west. You're right. Not a bad one there. But
wouldn't hate him in Houston. Houston would be a good landing spot, I think.
I'm sorry. I'm going to go fantasy football. David Johnson, come on.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why.
I'm buying in on Johnson.
Bad.
I'm buying in on Johnson. Yeah. I mean, look, his only significant injury actually was what? A broken wrist. I mean, his wheels are fine. I just think he was not.
He didn't fit.
For some reason, he didn't fit that system. They didn't like him or they didn't want to use him. I think he's going to be fine in Houston, quite frankly.
Here's what it is. We'll see how he does in this Houston offense.
Right.
David Johnson. I guess I changed the subject here. Shocker. But we see how he does there. The problem is I almost feel like there has to be more than he didn't fit into the system in Arizona. You bring in a coach who is creative offensively. You have a pass-catching, supposedly dynamic back in David Johnson. Unless it was a personality thing, and it could have been that. There's more to the story. David Johnson scares me. Like he said, I don't want to get down the fantasy road, but it just I'm very, very cautious with David Johnson down in Houston. Now, it could be great. It could be. I mean, your point, I feel like he's somehow gotten an injury-prone designation, but...
But somewhere along the line, I don't think Devontae Freeman – they're not going to be seeking a Devontae Freeman.
Well, who's not seeking a Devontae Freeman? Everybody is.
No, I mean, that's obvious they're not. But we don't know we've already covered before you came in slapping your hands and gums.
I'm excited. That you didn't think I'd be here. You're
we
thrilled.
Didn't care if you were going to be here.
The biggest
but
shocker
the point
is it looks like you're actually on the air. I'd have bet a lot of money against that.
You have a producer now.
But the point is there's already a lot of players opting out. We have no idea what the landscape's going to look like. And, you know, we talked about Clowney. We talked about Freeman. These are two of the biggest names. There's obviously going to be a job for them before the season starts. So
what about Chicago? Do you think he'd fit there?
I hadn't thought of Chicago.
He would fit, but, I mean, they already have Cohen and Montgomery. I don't see a big advantage of Freeman over Cohen, obviously, in the pass-catching department, and I don't really necessarily see him that much more in the running game over Montgomery.
I was just thinking, like, he kind of seems to be the hybrid of the two between Cohen and Montgomery, and I don't know.
But it goes back to our previous discussion, this damn running back by committee that everybody seems to adopt and is in love with.
Yeah, I mean, prime example right now, Denver. Like,
right.
You got two running backs that got you through last season. Hey, why not? We'll add Melvin Gordon.
I mean, get Philip Lindsay really butthurt in the process. Right. But maybe they'll bring in Freeman. It would make sense.
But at this point in time, though, I mean, Melvin Gordon is here where Freeman's down here in their same points, you know, in the point of their career.
And for those of you in radio land, Rick is holding one hand high and one hand lower.
Exactly. I mean, I think they know that.
They can't see you.
If only we had video.
Can we get to the most important point?
We are trying to get.
I found out something here.
Uh-oh.
Our producer, Alejandro Xavier Finkelstein VI, as I pull in late, but heroically nonetheless, is driving a station wagon. It looks like Chevy Chase from that Vacation movie out there in the parking lot of the studio, and I demand an explanation.
I'm not going to lie. That was the greatest compliment you've ever given me.
That you're driving a station wagon?
No, Chevy Chase.
Oh, all right. I'm just stunned I remembered.
Hey, it's a great...
I'm surprised you actually saw a movie.
Well, I probably never saw it the whole way through, but it's literally on 4 times a day, every day of the week.
So it is 100% a grocery getter and fuel efficient.
Is this a hippie thing for you? Is that what it is?
Well, I mean, I got a beard and we talked about a coffee shop earlier. You missed it.
What happened to my airwaves? We talked about a coffee shop?
I didn't.
Oh, okay. So you let this ne'er-do-well come in off the streets and dominate the airwaves with coffee
talk? A coffee shop to me is you walk into Sheets and you pour one in a styrofoam cup and walk out.
Still can't drink coffee. I can't get a taste for it. I feel like as a 40-year-old man, I should drink coffee, but I can't.
When I was a young buck.
No, what, last week?
Last week.
Comparatively.
I skipped coffee and went straight to cappuccino. Then I gave it up because, you know, guts and whatnot. And then came along this I think they call it offspring, and I was getting 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night, so coffee became my best friend.
Funny story about cappuccino. This just made me, he said sheets and you said cappuccino, and something from my high school days just came screaming back at me. So for those of you who don't know, who aren't in Pennsylvania, essentially, what a sheets is, it's a gas
sheets
station.
Sheets is down in North Carolina.
It is.
Too.
There's
go
a few.
Everywhere.
There's
sheets
not
the
out west.
Place on earth.
Not out west.
No,
I don't think there's
not
any.
In France. We know that.
So anyhow,
for the radio listeners, Mr. Briggs was throwing his hands up in the air.
Yeah, you're very passionate about very sheets passionate. Locations for whatever reason. So, yeah, it's a gas station.
I'm thinking about sheets, all right? I love it.
Only in the trashiest state in the Union, Pennsylvania, would also the finest dining in the state be this gas station. So it's got all the coffee, anything you could imagine, anything fried you could imagine to eat, made to order. It's really unbelievable. So I remember in high school, same thing. I was thinking I should be drinking coffee, didn't like it. So they had the little machine. It was just cappuccino. It was like, it was to cappuccino what Rick is to broadcasters. It was like pert near, you know what I mean? And so I've been there every day. I'm
top
getting
of
it.
Line, buddy.
Yeah. And I think, boy, I really like cappuccino. Man, I really like it. So I go, I was at a restaurant
who
or
the
a
hell
coffee
likes
shop.
Cappuccino?
Would you, hold on a minute. Not even me. You're jumping ahead. So I'm at a restaurant or a coffee shop or one time.
I mean, you
time.
Just crucified Jesus. Him for talking about a coffee
Listen,
shop.
I'm getting to a point here. And a point you'll like. It makes me look stupid. This is what you like to have. So after doing this day after day, week over week, month over month on my way to school drinking my cappuccino, I end up in a real coffee shop or restaurant.
Real quick question. All right. And this is on topic. What flavor? French vanilla?
We're getting to the point here. So
I'm starting to like Rick's side of the story better. You're discussing flavors of
right.
this crap.
So I'm in for the 11th time. I'm in a restaurant or a coffee shop, and I like cappuccino. I'm going to order that. So I drank it, or tried, and spit it out. It was disgusting. I'm like, how can the gas station cappuccino be this much better? So it's in my head the next time I'm in there, I take a look, hear the cappuccino machines and the hot chocolate machines were one and the same, and I'd been drinking hot chocolate this whole time, and I didn't like cappuccino. I had no idea. Thought I was getting all this coffee, thought I was silly. Nope, just drinking hot chocolate. I don't know how we got there, but...
Because you walked in. We've been staying on topic the whole damn show. You walk in, clap your hands, slap your gums, and it just goes off the rails.
But listen,
now
that's...
we know the culprit of the whole chaos that is the show.
But think about it, that is good radio. We somehow got from Devontae Freeman to Finkelstein driving a grocery getter to cappuccino to hot chocolate in 10 minutes. That's brilliant radio.
Between Briggs and I, we had 13 pages of notes.
Oh, sorry. Well, you guys go ahead. I got
to
go get a Pepsi.
But to bring everything down from that high note of sheets and cappuccino, what do you think of Dana Stubblefield?
Oh, man.
You know,
yeah.
Convicted of rape.
Convicted, too.
Convicted, yeah. Not accused. He is convicted of rape. And apparently, you just even hate. This is back, 5 years ago?
I didn't realize. I don't remember him being arrested. I don't know if I missed it or just forgot.
31-year-old woman that had developmental disabilities that he lured into the house, promising a babysitting job or whatever. I mean, good God.
And apparently, she left. He called her back, had the interview to do the babysitting job. She left, called her back to offer her the job, and that's when all this went down.
Apparently at gunpoint. I mean, he's going away for a long time.
And as he should. Good Lord.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
The details of this, if you really get into the court reporting, it's real bad. Not saying that rape or any of his charges are light, but when you get into it, it's really messed up.
Was it there something with Aaron Hernandez similarly running around a trailer park doing something like this or so? You remember that? There was something about that. Was it Aaron Hernandez or was some? No, Kellen Winslow. Kellen Winslow.
Oh, yeah, he got convicted of rape, too, yeah. I believe, yes.
I wonder if it's a CTE thing. Who knows? Or he's just a scumbag. Either way.
Winslow was kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think he ended up being
I tend to go with
the
scumbag thing, quite frankly. But hockey comes up, baby. Ooh. The playoffs starting this weekend.
You know, did you watch any of that? They aired locally the Penguins-Flyers scrimmage preseason game, whatever you want to call it, yesterday afternoon. Did you happen to watch any of it?
I did not. I actually missed that. I wanted to see some of that because they said they were actually playing a lot of their players, which kind of disturbed me in a way. I mean, look, when people are injured, like if Sid's injured or whatever, they don't send him down to the minor leagues and play scrimmages till he's ready. I mean, he practices till he's 100% and he plays the game. I mean, this is playoff hockey, man. I mean, you can't afford to lose somebody in some stupid scrimmage.
I think you got to get your legs stretched at speed, though. And I have a feeling if it's Sidney Crosby and Sidney Crosby says, I'm playing in this scrimmage, Sidney Crosby plays in this. So I think it's a lot of that. So anyhow, so I recorded it and I watched it last night and I found, and maybe I'll get used to it. I've noticed I've had no problem with NASCAR easily, obviously. The PGA with no fans. Baseball was a little weird the first inning or two. I've got
especially the smiling catchers and everything.
See, that's stupid. So I've gotten cheesy. Used to the empty stadium. They've done a good job with the crowd noise.
Right.
If you listen to one on the radio, when I was coming home last night, I was listening to the Pirate game on the radio, you wouldn't know the difference.
Right.
They did it's easier to do on radio, but they've done an excellent job. It was really, really off-putting, the hockey with nobody in the building. Just you'd think you'd like it, but if you've ever been in a hockey arena for a high school game or something, and all the banging and the noise the skates make, and when a goal was scored, it was really noticeable. And I've noticed that with the NBA kind of trial games they've been playing here. Basketball and hockey seem to be the two that least work. And I wonder going in the play, obviously I'm still going to watch it, really, really off-putting to me. It was hard to watch with nobody in that building.
I agree. I mean, it's just like click clack,
right,
bang,
yeah.
Bang, click clack.
Hockey makes awful noises. It really does. I hate it.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad noises in hockey. But, you know, now that the NHL playoffs are getting ready to start Saturday and Sunday, we have the Rangers against the Hurricanes. We have the Blackhawks and the Oilers. We have Florida versus the Islanders, Montreal and Pittsburgh. Winnipeg and Calgary. That's on Saturday. The Sunday lineup is Arizona, Nashville, Philadelphia, Boston, St. Louis, Colorado, Columbus, Toronto, and Minnesota, Vancouver. Well, I tell you what, you go back when they were still playing hockey, you look at some of these teams, the Montreals and the Vancouvers, you never dream about them being in the playoffs going into April, but after all of this COVID and everything, they expanded them. And, you know, some of these teams can be dangerous. I mean, it's going to be a series. You better be on your toes. It doesn't really matter who you're playing.
Well, especially these kind of first initial runs with it being best of five. I think this is always the case, almost always the case in the playoffs, but this time with this weird nonsense more than ever, this is all going to be about a hot goalie. Somebody's going to catch fire, and that's who's going to win
yep.
the Stanley Cup because everybody's kind of back in the same boat, this weird layoff. You don't know how guys are going to react to it. This is going to be all about goaltending, which I think eliminates – when you look in the Eastern Conference, which is where most of my knowledge is because we can't watch the Western Conference anymore, I think this eliminates both Washington and the Penguins at that point. I guess any goalie can get hot, but when I look at the goalie situations in both places, both kind of playing two guys, both can't sort of decide, I think this doesn't bode well, especially in this first round and five-game series for good teams with bad goalie situations.
Yeah, this isn't like you said, those teams that you just brought up, this isn't the old Colorado Avalanche where they had Patrick Waugh as your goalie. And, oh, by the way, we have Craig Billington to back him up in case something happens.
Or Tom Barrasso
or
and
Tom
Ken Reggett.
And
when
Ken
the
Reggett,
are
exactly.
Winning.
This is, we're not really sure who we want to play. And
they're both Pertnier, but not Plum. I'm going to take a guess at which one can stop six today.
You're not going to confuse any of them with Patrick Wall.
Exactly.
You know, simple as that. But, yeah, it's a dangerous situation if neither one of these guys really come out, as you say, they're Pertnier. But if they don't come out hot, I don't care if you're playing Montreal, if you're playing Washington. If this team starts putting pressure on the guy and he's not performing, you could lose a series real quick.
But somebody somewhere is going to get hot, and that's going to be your Stanley Cup champ. Maybe you get a more normal series when you get to the conference finals and the Stanley Cup final. But through this first, whatever they're calling this first round, because not all the teams are playing in it, these five games, and then what would truly be the first round. The NHL is always like this, right? It's the only league where if an eight beats a one, you don't even look up. It's just this happens.
Normal, right?
You know what I mean? But more than ever right now, I would think. Who knows?
Going to be a lot of
upsets. I have a hard
upsets.
Time watching with all the terrible grinding noises that
There's
hockey
There's going to be a
makes,
lot of though. Upsets. There really are. And, you know, it's a shame because we saw last year at the end of January, St. Louis Blues were the worst team in hockey and ended up winning the cup. You don't have that. It's going to be just like you said. It's not a team that has evolved into chemistry and playing well consistently game after game after game. It's going to be a goalie that's not giving up anything for a few games. Simple as that.
Well, and I worry to make this a complete homer segment, because that's really all I paid attention to NHL-wise. I really worry about the Pittsburgh Penguins, because for the last – even the 2 years they won the Stanley Cup and the last couple subsequent years where they've been contenders, they have been pathetic until February. Pathetic. You wonder if they're going to make the playoffs, and then they go – they're hard out in the playoffs because of who they are. You don't have that kind of time now. The playoffs start now, but they start notoriously slow. So
yeah, exactly.
I think I'm taking Montreal over Pittsburgh.
Like,
that's my one prediction.
Kind of like baseball, if you think about it, with the 60-game season. You look at the Dodgers. This is a notoriously slow-starting team, and then they make that surge towards the end. They just don't have that luxury right now. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to see upsets galore in these first couple of rounds of the hockey playoffs, no doubt about it. Well, Christian, did you die or did you just quit talking? You lose interest? What?
I was really hoping you wouldn't say anything, because as we established last episode, I'm all in on hockey and I do not want to jinx this. So I didn't.
There's no such thing as a jinx. So what are you talking about?
Oh, I believe in a jinx.
Well,
you don't believe in a
ghosts.
Jinx?
You're an idiot.
Well, ghosts are real, first of all.
He wins this one.
The thing is, this is going to be, once we go video. We're going to go video here soon. We're also going to branch out. I think probably next spring when the weather's good, we're going to get some ghost hunting equipment.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We can make ghost hunting videos. I think this would be just because we're going to have our own channels and everything, so we might as well just throw everything out there. And we can go stay in some old house and film ghosts.
What are you going to do when you find one? And then
I'm not going to.
BS
I'm going to laugh at you two.
All these years is proven wrong.
I'm just going to laugh at you two. Simple as that.
I'm okay with that, actually. I'm not going to lie.
I could tell you a story.
Oh,
would you be interested
in the story? Like when Rick Briggs tells a story, yes.
I told you this story once before, Rick, but I never told Christian.
Let's pull back the curtain a little bit. Prior to the show, there was a meeting of the minds, if you will. And
it smells like burnt hair down here.
No, it was before we were even here.
Oh.
Where we kind of set Mr. Briggs up to run with something. This is one of those times. Like it's like an alley-oop. You just throw it up there.
Softballs, man.
Get him wound up and then let him go. Now, let me ask before you start.
Yes.
If everybody remembers last week, and if you haven't heard last week's show, shame on you. Go back and listen to it.
Now.
Unlike last week, are you going to tell this story in order, or are you going to go beginning,
no, this
racist
is,
end,
this
and then
going,
middle context?
This is an honest-to-God story, okay?
I never knew that dyslexia was verbal. I thought it was only like when you were reading.
And in paragraph form. Sorry, tell your story.
One thing the three of us have in common is oral diarrhea.
Well, yeah.
Factually accurate.
Yes.
We've got microphones.
Exactly. But this is an honest to God true story. No exaggeration. This is true. And this is talking, this is in on topic with you guys.
So you're making an argument for our ghosts.
With your ghosts, okay?
I'm not sure how I got lumped into the ghost thing, but I'll run with it.
All you have to do is sit there silently like you normally do. All right. And listen.
See what happens when you give a producer a microphone? Yeah. He goes hog wild.
That's what happens. All of a sudden he thinks he runs the damn place.
He can have it. This shit stinks.
Anyway, this is honest to God true story. My sister passed away in 1988 from leukemia, okay? That has nothing to do with, you know, you're looking like that was some weird statement.
No, but, like, that just took a turn real quick, but go ahead.
I want to tell you a story. It wasn't an odd statement. This kind of prefaced the story, okay?
Okay.
My daughter was born in 1992. Okay. We named my daughter after my sister, okay, who had passed away 4 years before. Now, I was working, inside. I didn't witness this, but my wife told me all of this. And I'm going to guess it must have been around 94, something. My daughter was like 2, maybe 3, something on that order. And my wife would put her down for naps and this, that, and the other. And she would hear her talking. Okay? And just keep on talking. So anyway, after a while, she was doing her thing with the daughter or whatever, you know, getting her up and changing clothes and this, that, and the other. She goes, I heard you talking and so forth, you know. Who was you talking to? I was talking to Aunt Connie, which was my sister's name.
Who she'd actually never met.
Never met.
I did the math.
No pictures.
Right.
No, we don't, you've been to our house, no pictures anywhere, right? Okay, so my wife didn't really say a whole lot, you know, but then kind of another time it was the same thing, you know. Well, who do you know, what do you talk about? Oh, she reads me books, okay, and tells me things. He says, well, what she look like? Well, you know, she's long hair, blah, 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 you know. So my wife decided, well, this is kind of strange. So she got some pictures. And she got a picture of a friend of hers who's also named Connie, a picture of my sister, and a couple other, you know, random relative pictures.
And a grapefruit.
No grapefruits. Oh. My daughter was intelligent. She couldn't be fooled by a fruit like you.
Well.
Okay. So.
Fruit can look like people, so, but I don't want to get
anyway.
You can't do that, Christian.
Anyway, she started going through the pictures. And there's a picture of my sister that we did have that when she was in the service. And or working, I guess, actually as a physical therapist at the time. And she had real long hair. And she went through, no, that's not it. No, that's, oh, yeah, that's her. She goes, except her hair is white now. You know, my wife's like, are you sure? Oh, yeah, that's her.
Well, then how can you not believe?
Just saying, that's a story. True story.
Just saying.
I'm telling you, this happens, and kids are beacon for this stuff. I had a similar situation with my daughter. I don't know if I told you this when you told me this story the first time. It was very similar. My daughter was about the same age, and she had this imaginary friend named Sally. And Sally had two parents that her parents were doctors, all right? And the one was still alive, and I think the mother was dead. Well, the mother who is dead happens to be the woman who is, well, I guess I'm leaping ahead here. So Sally,
now you're talking about it's telling a story in order.
You settle
all
down.
Right, let's get moving.
You settle down. So Sally come hang out with her and tell her about the parents, and her mother was killed in a car wreck when they were both doctors. Well, it just so happens that the people that owned the land that the development my house is in, the original owners of the land were two doctors. One's still alive and is still a doctor in town here. And the wife, who the street that I live on was named off after, has died in a car accident. Now, to what I could find, they didn't have a kid named Sally, so I don't know where the hell Sally came from, unless we didn't know about Sally. But this stuff happens. Kids are beaking for this.
I think Sally was made up.
Believe in it.
See, it's not right. It's not a real story.
How can you tell that story you told and then mock us for believing in ghosts?
Because I saw no fake names in my story, but I saw them in yours. I shot holes in yours.
So fine. What's up with your story then?
I don't know.
We're going to ghost hunt and we're going to find one and you're going to apologize on these airwaves.
I tell you what, we film what we won't have to apologize because we'll be famous. Because, you know, all these ghost hunters in there, they have these little green lights and they walk around and go, What was that? Oh, yeah, boy, there was a ghost over there. But they never see anything.
It's electromagnetic energy.
Oh, yeah, they got some little gizmo that cost $39.95 with a couple of lights on it. Oh, yeah, there's something over there.
Nobody said ghosts were sophisticated. You can find them with cheap equipment. That's a good thing.
But I will say, you ever go, and I'm being dead serious, you ever go to, like, Gettysburg during, like, the 1st of July when the battle happened? Buddy, I tell you what, you can stand there, and, I mean, the hair in the back of your neck will stand up. I mean to tell you, there's some energy at that place.
I've had friends tell me that, like, they've gone not knowing that it's that time, like, not historical.
Right.
Anyways, and they come back telling stories of, I felt like somebody bumped into me.
Yeah, and I have. I have.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I believe in spirituality, yes.
Well, yeah, it's not Casper floating around. That's nonsense. But
what?
Casper, the friendly ghost.
That's not real?
No, he was a cartoon.
Son of a...
But... And this sounds like some hippie cosmos BS, and I hate that. But I do think, you know, when people leave, you leave behind a certain amount of energy, and certain areas and objects and things absorb energy, and you can feel that energy anyhow. And we probably misinterpret it as, you know, guys with no feet floating around going, woo, you know, that's not necessarily the case.
I wonder if they do go, woo.
Ric Flair?
Yeah.
Woo! Oh, that would be an awesome ghost.
Yeah.
When something happens to Ric Flair, we're ghost hunting him because I want to get they call them EVPs. I want an EVP of woo. Now, that would be good.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, you know, that would be the ultimate ghost, Ric Flair.
3 o'clock in the morning. Woo! Ric, go to bed.
Enough.
Yeah, damn it.
So
in the morning, not the afternoon.
I just want to note that somehow we went from the NHL playoffs to Ric Flair ghosts in 7 minutes, I've been watching the clock.
And he's not even dead.
Yeah, he's not dead yet.
The Grim Reaper has been trying for years.
Yeah, he just won't give up.
Wow. He's been after Keith Richard for years and years, and I think Keith Richard may get him.
Ric Flair, girlfriend or wife? Like the 28-year-old?
I think he's married now.
So she got COVID. He didn't.
Really?
Really. Like, come on.
Well, it's Ric
Flair.
Come on. It's the nature boy.
He's immune.
Yeah. It's the nature boy. And like we talked about him at the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I don't even know where to go from there.
Where we can go.
Oh, Ric wants to talk sports now.
We were doing good.
I like baseball.
We already covered baseball.
I had, like, him going for 10 or 15 minutes on baseball.
Oh, do you get him mad about baseball?
No. We're just talking about the impact of COVID, what's going on with Florida, how it could spread to some of these teams, like the Phillies and so forth, they had contact with.
Did any of the Phillies end up testing
indirectly
positive?
Could certainly impact the football season, which is – the main thing that we're really concerned
about. Here's what's going to happen, because what they're postulating, and I believe this is true.
Good word.
I know. I like it. I couldn't spell it.
A lot.
But
can't
is
say it too often.
One of the Marlins or a couple of the Marlins, when they were in Atlanta playing a preseason game, went out looking for skeezers one night and came back and gave the COVID. This, I think, lends an argument to running past somebody is not going to give them the COVID. Chasing skeezers and then hanging out in a small clubhouse, that's what's going to give it to you. So if somehow we can eliminate skeezers from the NFL, which is going to be hard, if we can eliminate them, we'll be fine. Where it's not going to work is college football, because college football is ripe with skeezers, and it's going to be a problem.
Mr. Briggs, do you know what a skeezer is?
No.
Perfect. Okay, carry on.
A woman of ill repute.
A skeezer.
Yeah.
It's not always limited to women.
Also known as a cricket. You can go out on a cricket caper. I've heard that before.
I don't know.
That might be misogynistic, though. That's about the noise they make when they get together in groups. It sounds like crickets.
I'm not into these kind of...
Well, now you're above and beyond this all of a sudden after what you said on these airwaves last week.
I am. Don't you jump in there, beer man.
No. We had an in-depth conversation about what happened last week and how there should be a fact check to the fact check.
I have no idea what you're talking about. We talked about having a Sock Alexis update every week.
Yeah, I think we just avoid that topic from here on out.
But from now, I always thought crickets were just like fish bait. Well, that's what I use them for.
It's also a sport.
Cricket's a sport.
Do you have any understanding of cricket? They'll throw it on at like 3 in the morning on like FS1 every night. It looks fascinating.
Well, that's kind of
slayed
way over there, and it's
way over
in the morning.
for everybody, Rick pointed east.
Actually, that was north. But anyways.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for agreeing with me.
I think you're right.
I've tried to watch.
You know, you guys can gang up on all you want, but I'll hold my own against you two morons any day.
I've tried to watch cricket, and I got really into it after watching King Ralph, if anybody remembers that. Never mind.
No, yeah, not me.
Anyways, so I think it was about 2 weekends ago, my nephew started explaining how they are playing, I think it's, how's he say it, 2v2 cricket.
Okay.
And he's explaining it to me, and I'm like, it's actually kind of making sense now. But their field, like, it's baseball-esque, but the dimensions are more skewed.
Now, why is it sometimes they take a normal hack at it, like I'd expect to see, and other times they, like, basically bunt it?
Apparently, cricket is like chess, where you actually have to have, like, a strategy to playing for up to 3 days.
You have to play for 3 days?
Sometimes the games go on for like ever.
That's awful. So it's like the goal isn't just to score the most runs or whatever they call them you can.
He thinks
he fancies himself a chess expert, so he's all butt hurt that you compared cricket to chess.
No, I just...
Yes, we all have chess on our computer. You're better at it than we are. Congratulations.
I'm just laughing at Bobby the whole Fisher. Aspect of cricket, bouncing a ball across. They have a square club, and they try to hit it.
I believe they call that a wicket, do they not?
No, wicket.
No, wickets.
Behind.
Yeah, that's the wickets behind it there.
What's that thing for? What's the wicket for?
If the...
And why do they say sticky wicket? I say it all the time, and I don't know what it means.
Don't... Isn't it something if you hit it...
Yeah,
or like if they miss the ball, but the ball hits the wicket, it's some special score or something happens, right?
I believe they score.
Yeah.
It's like a defensive score.
Yeah, it's
like
actually part
really?
Of the game. Yeah.
Really?
Sounds exhausting.
So if you got like Babe Ruth up there, yeah, swing away. But if you got Ichiro, like, to defend the
So wicket. What's to be gained? Is it the same thing? You just try to beat the ball to first base?
Kind of like,
and it doesn't seem there's any walls. Like they whack it, and it just goes on forever, like in bad little league fields.
That's kind of the thing with the field being skewed is, if you go to quote unquote right field, it's shorter, but if you go to left field, it's like 500 feet away.
So it's the opposite of Fenway.
Yes.
Well, well, it's kind of strange, though.
Hey, since I'm sitting in the producer's chair, we got less than a minute left.
Hey, since we're probably going to have to do a hard out, let's talk about Viagra.
Yeah, let's.
What now?
Oh, man, my notes are
all out. Let's do it. Come on.
All right.
You got a minute?
Viagra. Chad Ochocinco said, I took Viagra before every game, and people thought they'd stop me. If my stat line was bad, I wasn't covered. The pass was just incomplete. So, a la Roger Clemens, Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco Johnson, was all hopped up on Viagra, the little blue pill.
Yeah, who'd have thought?
I didn't know that was a – well, I knew it was a performance enhancer, but not a performance
not football
enhancer.
Enhancer.
All right, hit the out music there. Come on.
I don't know where the out music is.
The one that says close.
Oh.
This is our producer.
We'll wait. Yeah, I just had to tell my producer how to produce. You hit the wrong button. And now time's up. So, hey, until next time, we'll see you.
What a disaster.
About that action, boss.
But this is the year he finally puts it together. It isn't, he sucks.
For the record, I think so.